Revolting People by Andy Hamilton and Jay Tarsis, with Jay Tarsis, James Feat, Hugh Dennis, Tony Maudsley, Julia Hills, and Andy Hamilton.
The year is 1775. The month, April. The fuse is lit and the powder keg of history is about to explode. At Lexington and at Concord, the blood of British and American soldiers has been spilt. And so the grim vulture of war descends upon this continent. Hark! I hear its merciless beak tearing at the flesh of the new world's lost innocence. There, what do you think of that?
Hmm? Oh, what? Sorry, Ezekiel, I wasn't listening.
Well, why weren't you listening?
Because it was you talking.
Oh, I see.
What was all that stuff you were bellowing, Ezekiel?
Oh, that was the first paragraph of my chronicle of this momentous war. Yes, every great civilization has its chronicler. The Greeks had Herodotus, ancient Rome had Suetonius. America shall have Spriggs. It falls to me to write a fair, objective account of the war between the British Army and these rebellious scum.
Shut up. Keep your voice down. The rebels are tarring and feathering more and more loyalist sympathizers every day.
That is terrible.
It certainly is. I keep running out of tar. I had 3 barrels in the shop yesterday, and now they're gone. I think the rebels must have stolen them.
Well, you should lie in wait for them, Samuel, and then shoot them.
No, I don't think so. Customers do less impulse buying in shops full of bullet-riddled corpses. It's been proven by research.
Oh, come. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the side of whoever's talking to me. Like most people in Baltimore, I don't want to be any part of this war, because it'll divide communities. It'll set brother against brother.
But that's not going to happen in this family.
That's right.
Because I don't have a brother.
Well, yeah, actually, Josh...
I wanted a brother, but you wouldn't let me have one.
Yeah, well, that's not really my fault.
You just fobbed me off with a rabbit, which isn't the same.
Listen, son, I love every inch of your 7-foot-tall body, but I've told you before, conversations take a lot longer when you try to join in.
Sorry, Father. I'll try to remember.
Yeah, and you be careful about taking sides, Ezekiel. I've heard that the rebels are even thinking of executing loyalists.
In wartime, there are bound to be lurid, exaggerated rumors being bandied around, especially by those Satan-worshipping baby-eaters. But I appreciate your concern, Samuel. You know, you've always been much more than just a father-in-law to me.
Alan, you're much more than just a son-in-law to me, Ezekiel. You're a daily reminder of my daughter's abysmal judgment.
And yet you still worry about what might happen to me.
No, I worry about what might happen to me. And I'm already viewed with suspicion because of the 2 redcoats who live under my roof.
Yeah, but that wasn't your choice, Father. You were forced to billet those redcoats under the Billeting Act of 1771. So they've been living here for several years, rent-free, often disrupting the harmony of the household.
It's a lot of information for one sentence, son.
No, I know, but it needed saying. Am I slowing up the conversation again?
A lot.
Darn.
Kill the rebel vermin, kill all the rebel vermin, till they are dead.
It's a pleasant ditty, McGurk.
Yeah, I know. Kind of Christmassy, isn't it? Well, the war's definitely begun because people have started shooting at me. That's always a good indicator. Luckily, that sniper got me in one of my many artificial bits there, you see. You can still see the bullet lodged in my wooden leg.
Oh, yeah, just below the carving of the naked angel.
Yeah. She's a well-built angel, isn't she?
Yeah. Not sure she'd be able to fly. Or even walk, for that matter.
Yeah.
Did you see where the shots came from, Sergeant?
No.
So what did you do?
Well, what we soldiers are trained to do in these circumstances. I arrested the first 20 people I saw, stripped them naked, and made them form a human pyramid. Then I urinated over them while I forced them to eat large quantities of excreta. But I didn't kill them, though, because we're trying to win hearts and minds.
So you humiliated them, basically?
No, I humiliated them in quite a complicated way.
And did Captain Brimshaw and the rest of the platoon just look on while you perpetrated this outrage?
No, because I was on one of my solo reconnaissance missions.
Sergeant McGurk's famous for those. Was it another solo reconnaissance mission to that big house with the nice red light outside? And those girls who call out your name from their windows.
That boy is Satan's man-trap. Those girls are demons in disguise. They'll strip a man of his self-respect and his dignity and then charge him extra if he just wants to talk. They tell me. Well, this is almost diverting, but I shan't tarry any longer. We chroniclers have to stay abreast of events, so I'm off to town to gather news of the latest British victories in the north. Adieu.
You know, this is all very puzzling.
Puzzling? Why?
Well, I could have sworn that a while back, as part of a different adventure, I discovered that Ezekiel was not a pompous, moronic windbag, but that was just his disguise. And he was, in fact, a master spy for the revolutionaries. And come to think of it, I'm pretty sure I discovered Joshua was actually a genius and that no one was how they seemed.
Yeah, yeah. No, Sammy, I told you, we've been through all this. That was all just a dream.
Are you sure? I mean, it seems so real. Maybe that was real and this is the dream.
Or maybe we're all part of someone else's dream. Maybe we're just fantasies in the mind of a giant mouse who eats too much cheese before he goes to bed.
Just a fantasy in the cheese-influenced mind of a giant mouse. Well, that certainly explains my life.
Mary.
Yes, Walter?
I asked you to rendezvous with me here in the forest, because now that the war has started, our relationship has become untenable. Your allegiance is to the cause of American liberty, and my allegiance is to the king. For us to continue to meet as boyfriend and girlfriend would involve, for both of us, considerable jeopardy and danger.
And excitement.
And anguish.
And excitement.
Also, I think, if we continued, our relationship would be bound to collapse under the emotional strain. We'd have to skulk around in the night like thieves. It'd be furtive.
The exciting.
Secretive.
Clandestine.
Illegal.
Forbidden.
Sordid.
Sordid.
Shameful.
Shocking.
Unworthy.
Squishy.
Squishy?
Oh, I'm sorry, my mind wandered for a bit there.
But the main thing, Mary, is that it's just too risky. If I was caught fraternizing with one of the enemy, then I could be put up against a wall and shot.
Yes, and I could be put up against a wall by you.
Mary, stop this sort of behavior. Our romance cannot resume until the war is over. Or...
Or what?
Or till you change your revolutionary leanings.
Oh, I see. It's always the woman who has to fit in around the man, isn't it, eh? Why can't you change your leanings?
I don't have leanings, madam. I have duties.
And I have a duty to free this land from the despotic rule of a country ruled by a mad German tree botherer.
May I remind you, young lady, that we are at war now. Strictly speaking, I should have you arrested for such inflammatory talk.
That's not inflammatory talk, you wet-nosed lobster back. This is inflammatory talk. I'd like to see King George's fat, stinky head on a spike.
Madam, desist, or I will arrest you.
Go ahead and arrest me. I said go ahead and arrest me. Seize me, maybe firmly around the waist, and then we...
No, Mary. I see what your game is now. You're just trying to get my blood up so that things will... burgeon. But no, I'm not falling for that this time, no. Our relationship has no future unless you abandon your political beliefs.
Very well, I'm prepared to discuss it.
Are you?
Yes. I'm a reasonable person.
Are you?
I'm very happy to have a mature, detached political debate where you try to win me over to your royalist views, but it's likely to be hungry work, so let's tuck into this picnic basket I prepared, see? Doesn't that look delicious?
Yes, yes, it does. Is there anything apart from oysters?
Listen, McGurk, there's something I want to ask you. You've seen a lot of wars.
Yeah, 43.
Yeah. So who do you reckon is going to win this one?
Ooh, well, if I was offering odds, which funnily enough I am, I place both the rebels and Britain at 3-1, with a draw the favourite at evens, and for an outside bet, Holland at 300-1, Greece at 500-1, and Tibet at 1,000-1.
Holland, Greece, and Tibet aren't in the war.
Yeah, but there might be a domino effect, you know.
Well, I'm betting on Greece. 1 farthing. Which is a lot of money in these days.
Son, how many times have I told you never bet with McGurk?
Oh, his winning streak has to come to an end sometime, Father. Why, only this morning he bet me a farthing that I'd end up betting him a farthing about something by the end of the day. And blow me if he hasn't just won again.
Pay up, Joshua.
Oh, all right, here's your farthing.
This is extortion.
Oh, no, he bet me a farthing you'd say that as well.
You crook, McGurk.
And that. Stop it, Father. You're costing me a fortune.
Joshua, move away from McGurk. Go on. Don't look in his eyes. Just keep going. Out of the door. Go on.
I'll get you next time, McGurk, you scallywag.
Please, stop fleecing my son. It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
No, it's actually a lot easier than that. Yeah. Because the fish are surprisingly quick, you know. Yeah.
You know, it's not fair relieving him of so many farthings. I bet he's the most gullible sap you've ever met, isn't he?
Oh, let's think. Most gullible sap. Yeah, he'd be in the running. Now, you were asking me about this war.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand your odds, McGurk. The British must be favorites, surely. They have battle-hardened troops.
Well, you're right, of course, Samuel. The British Army has the British infantryman, the best in the world.
Right.
But it also has the British officer, who is invariably a wet-nosed milksop.
Oh, what, like Brimshaw?
Well, he's a military genius compared to most of them. They're a bunch of reckless, chinless wonders. Medal-seeking glory hunters, the lot of them, intent on leading their platoons in suicidal charges towards certain death. I've seen so many of those officers die on their first day of command.
What, killed by enemy fire?
Yeah, that can happen as well.
As well as what?
Tragic accidents. I remember one of them, Captain Carrington Lewis. Oh, he died tragically in his hammock due to the explosives that were being inadvertently stored underneath it. And then there was Captain Fortescue Smythe.
Oh, what happened to him?
Flukish collision between him and a bayonet.
Yeah, don't tell me he fell backwards onto it. Probably more than once. Nobody saw how it happened, right?
Yeah, it's terrible, tragic. We were gutted, yeah. Not as gutted as he was, obviously, but you know, still pretty devastated, you know.
Father, can I come inside, please?
What for?
Well, a messenger boy just delivered a message for you.
Well, what's it say?
I don't know. I can't read it. It's written in writing.
Oh. Very well. Here, give me that and stay well away from McGurk.
Why?
Because he'll have the shirt off your back.
No, I usually start with his trousers, to be honest.
This letter is from Cora. Dear Father, word has reached me from a rebel militia that my husband, Ezekiel, has been seized and is to be put on trial for being an unctuous, groveling appeaser of the British tyrant. Their words, not mine. And they say that they will try the toadying weasel, my words, not theirs, this afternoon. They say they are idealistic freedom fighters battling for a just and noble cause, but they're open to offers starting at 10 guineas. Clearly, my husband is in grave danger. Could you please go and rescue him as I'm behind with the laundry? Your loving daughter, Cora. P.S. If you do manage to rescue my husband from a horrible fate, could you ask him to pick up some milk on the way home? Oh, I think that marriage might be in more trouble than I realized.
What are you going to do, Father?
Why should I do anything? Ezekiel's Cora's responsibility. I don't even like him. He's a ridiculous man. What about that time he went mad and lived in that tree under the impression he was a red squirrel?
Why did he think he was a red squirrel?
Well, I don't know. I think it was because the gray squirrels kept attacking him.
Yeah, they're aggressive, those grays, aren't they? Luckily, we haven't got them in England. Let's hope they don't get introduced there, otherwise our native red squirrels will probably be eradicated apart from a few small areas of Scotland.
Yeah. It goes without saying.
All right. Put him down there. Now get him out of the sack. Take the hood off his head and take the gag out of his mouth.
How dare you mistreat me in this fashion? Am I to be shackled by heathen degenerates like noble Samson in the Philistines' den at Gaza?
All right, put the gag back in his mouth. That was a mistake.
What a windbag.
Yeah, the pompous ass.
Kill him!
Calm yourself, brother. There will be no instant justice in the new America. Now then, if the accused will refrain from long-windedness, we shall remove the gag. Very well. According to the parish records, your name is Ezekiel Isaac Obadiah Jeepers. This is an ugly baby Spriggs.
There was a misunderstanding at my christening.
You are charged with being a treasonous apologist for the repressive tyrant King George III. How do you plead?
Not guilty.
Yeah, he's hiding behind legal technicalities. Let's kill him!
Oh, this is what happens when insurrectionists go unpunished. Mob rule, people pointing guns in your face.
Put that pistol down, brother. Gun violence will have no place in the new America. This will be a bona fide judiciary procedure with a defense counsel and a judge.
Kill!
Then the judge should stop the insane shouts of kill him from that wide-eyed maniac.
He is the judge.
And that is why I believe that America must set itself free from British rule.
Well, you've put your case very well, Mary. You marshalled your argument with conviction and intellectual clarity. I just don't see why it was necessary to take your blouse off.
I wanted to highlight a couple of points.
It's not going to work, Mary. My mind is...
Shh, someone's approaching. Quick,
Let's hide.
Shall I put my blouse back on?
No, that's all right.
Oh, quit moaning. You're always moaning.
Oh, I'll moan if I want to, because, A, I don't know how I allow myself to be talked into this. My standing idly by technique has seriously let me down. And, B, I'd feel a lot safer heading for rebel territory if we didn't have a redcoat along.
Yeah, but I'm not dressed as a redcoat, am I? Joshua's decked me out in this cunning disguise as a fur trapper, see? With the pigskin boots and the deerskin jacket.
And I made the hat myself. It's raccoon. It's nice, isn't it, Father?
Yeah, it is nice. I'm just not sure you should have used the whole raccoon. Kind of looks like it's perched on McGurk's head with a fish in its mouth. Why's it got a fish in its mouth?
That's what we hat makers call a conversation starter.
I like it. A hat composed of dead wildlife makes me feel American.
Now, this is pointless, McGurk. You could never pass as an American.
Why, because I'm thin?
No. Because you have that ludicrous accent.
Oh, I'll explain that away easy. I'll simply say that as a child, I was abducted by Red Indians who'd been taught English by Cockney missionaries.
Well, I believe that.
Well, yeah, something you'd believe is not the baseline we're trying to clear here.
Don't you worry, Samuel. I'll convince them.
Yeah, but your demeanor isn't...
Listen, I know how to behave like an American.
Behave like an American?
Yeah, I can overuse people's Christian names and ask waiters for things that aren't on the menu. It's easier.
Yeah, but these rebels are probably local. They're bound to recognize you.
Why?
Well, for a start, your missing limbs make you rather noticeable, which is why children start screaming when they see you.
Yeah, I know, the little tykes. I can make them puke if I take my wooden eye out.
Really? Her life is such fun, McGurk.
Yeah.
I still maintain that having a red coat along places us in serious jeopardy. You do know what jeopardy means, Joshua.
Sure. Jeopardy means like a jeopard.
What's a jeopard?
Oh, well, now you've got me.
Oh, for the love.
Come on, just find Ezekiel. Just stop the moaning.
What are they up to? And why is McGurk out of uniform? We should follow them.
I agree, but not right now. Right now, I think we should continue with our political discussion. You were about to make the case for the divine right of kings. We could discuss that. Possibly with you in the role of King Charles and me as Nell Gwynn.
No, Mary, we must get after them.
Oh, no, I've dropped all my oranges.
Something's out.
Oh, now we're in business.
No, I mean, something's wrong. Let's follow them.
But what about my oranges?
Damn your imaginary oranges.
It's a terrible thing to say.
Come on, Mary, and do your buttons up.
Very well. I had tried to persuade you to free me using the force of reason and moral argument. But now I'm afraid you leave me no choice but to weep like a baby. For the love of Jesus Christ, show mercy on me. I have children.
Yeah, they're not your children.
They have red hair.
Well, sometimes red hair skips a generation or two. But my ancestors were flame-haired Vikings.
Vikings?
Oh, yes.
Called Spriggs?
Oh, that's right. All descended from... Sprigsman Sprigsonson. You won't find him in the history books. He was too modest. Runs in the family, lack of boastfulness. We're perhaps the least boastful people in the world. Without wishing to pat ourselves on the back, but we have won awards. By the way, I do admire how you keep this camp so spotlessly clean. That can't be easy. Do you do it all yourselves, or do you get someone in? It's so hard to find good cleaners these days, isn't it?
Wait a second, I see what he's up to. He figures that as long as he keeps talking, then we can't sentence him.
Don't be silly. I'm not clever enough to deploy such skillful delaying tactics. I'm no Penelope stalling her suitors in Ithaca as she waits for her noble Odysseus to return from the blood-soaked shores of dusty Ilium. But wait, it sounds so much better in the original Greek. Let me quote it to you. Okay, me, Penelopea.
He's doing it again. Yeah, all right. That's enough jurisprudence. Let's kill him.
No, brother. The new America is no place for summary executions.
Quite right.
It must be a considered execution. Right, I've considered it. Take aim.
No, wait. Stop.
Halt! Who goes there, friend or foe?
Friends. Really good friends.
Oh, my God. Look, a bear.
Shoot it, quick.
Stop firing. That's my son. Step forward into the light, Joshua, so that everyone can see you're not a bear.
Sorry, fellas. Didn't mean to frighten anybody. I always look bigger with the moon behind me. Once I got mistaken for a very hairy cathedral.
Did you two come alone?
Absolutely. We two came alone, with nobody else. apart from each other, thus forming a we two who came alone. Do I sound nervous? I think I sound nervous. Maybe it's all those guns you're pointing at me. See, I'm allergic to guns. I like them, but they don't like me.
Why are you here?
To plead for the release of this pitiful, obnoxious, toadying creep.
Oh, bless you, Samuel.
Because after all, when you take someone's liberty purely because you happen not to like his views, aren't you betraying the fine and noble idealism of your cause?
Yeah, probably. Have you got the money?
No, regrettably, we're fresh out of money.
Oh, come on, you must have some money.
I'll bet you this farthing that we don't have any money. Oh, tarnation, lost again. I'm on such an unlucky streak.
Wait, there's something else lurking in those bushes.
Oh, yeah, I see him. It's some kind of small disease monkey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a small disease monkey with a raccoon sitting on his head.
And the raccoon's eating a fish?
Yeah, that's unusual. Do raccoons eat fish?
Hmm. What did I tell you, Father? Conversation starter?
Kill it! Kill the monkey!
Fair enough. Aim!
No, wait. Roy, step out into the light so they can see you're not a diseased monkey with a fish-eating raccoon on his head. See, this is just Roy, a wandering backwoodsman.
Do I know him?
Don't be silly. How would you know him? He's a backwoodsman from the backwoods. It's way out back, behind the front woods and way past the side woods.
Can't he speak for himself?
Yeah. No, he can't. He can't speak for himself because, tragically, on his last hunting trip, wolves ate his tongue.
Looks like they had a pretty good nibble at the rest of them.
Hey, wait a second. I knew I recognized him. It's that redcoat, Sergeant McGurk.
Oh, no, now we're in for it.
Hiya, McGurk.
Hi, how boys. You doing there, Sergeant? Yeah. McGurk, have you come to sell us more guns?
Hey, yeah, the ones you got us last time are really good. Made in Sheffield.
No, calm down, lads. I'm not selling weapons today.
Well, then, have you got some more tar? Only we used up the last barrels you got us tar and feathering a tax collector, who turned out to be more rotund than he looked.
Yeah, well, I guess that solves my barrels of tar mystery.
No, I'm not here to sell you any tar, either.
Then are you here in your capacity as our part-time military consultant?
Yeah, hey, that was great advice you gave us about aiming for the officer's groin.
Yeah, it's to make a funny noise, don't it? No, but mind you, technically you still owe me for that consultation, but no, actually, I'm here on behalf of...
Wait a second, there's two more lurking over there in the bushes.
No, I don't believe this. What is this, National Lurking Day?
Show yourselves! Show yourselves or we shoot!
That would be most unwise, because I heard everything, and I...
We know who you are. You're Captain Walter Brimshaw of the British Army, and this woman is Mary Oliphant, a free-spirited and independent-minded firebrand who supports the fight for republicanism and freedom, but who, unfortunately, is madly in love with the symbol of the oppression she so fervently despises.
These guys are really clued up, aren't they? I'm really impressed.
Well, I'm not impressed. I'm appalled. Is this what we're fighting for? Is this what the new America is to be like? In the new America, there should be no place for mob rule. The new America will be built around the cornerstones of liberty, equality, brotherhood. It will be a land of hope. But put the trumpet down, McGurk. Be cloying.
Yeah, I could do something more up-tempo.
No. The new America will be a land of hope, where the freedom of the individual is respected, and avarice and greed are banished into history forever.
I guess you haven't brought the money either.
To hell with money! In the new America, money will be unimportant.
Has she been drinking?
I really resent the way she's just copied my new America idea.
It was a good idea.
Enough of these words. I grow weary of them.
Oh, quite right. Words are but Satan's tartlets of licentiousness and frippery. I'm sorry, but it needed saying.
I'm placing all of you under arrest, including you, McGurk. Have you no shame, man? Well?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were expecting an answer to that question.
That did sound a little rhetorical.
Yeah.
Quiet. I order you all to down your weapons and follow me to the garrison.
Walter, darling, while your conduct is courageous and fearless and strangely arousing, I can't help noticing that there are a lot more of them than you, and they all have pistols.
They may well all have pistols, but I have a high moral ground.
All right, man, aim for his groin.
Whoa. No, need to be so hasty, lads. No, can't. Look, listen, perhaps we could just step to one side for a quiet little chat, eh? Break open that celebration grog, Samuel. My throat's as dry as a dead jackal's wedding tackle.
Well, I still feel I'd have got those rebels to surrender in the end just by imposing my moral authority on them.
Even I think that's stupid, and I'm a simpleton.
Face facts, Captain. It's down to me that Ezekiel is now reunited with his beloved Cora.
Yeah, that was a touching reunion, wasn't it? The way she threw her arms out wide and said, "You forgot the milk, idiot."
Yeah.
What exactly did you offer those outlaws, McGurk?
Well, let's just say that a couple of the garrison's cannons may have to go for a little walk.
I'm sorry, but you leave me no choice but to have you clapped in irons, McGurk. You've been arming the foe. Do you know what that makes you?
A hero.
That's right, a traitor. A filthy, wretched... hero? How do you work that out?
I'm a hero because at huge personal risk, I am spying on the enemy.
Spying? But you've been selling them guns.
Only to win their confidence.
You've been selling them my tar.
For the same reason.
You've been advising them on military tactics. You told them to shoot British officers in the groin.
Thus sparing the officers' lives.
What?
By getting the rebels to aim for the smaller target. I mean, you know, I could have said aim for the head, couldn't I? No. Thing is, I had to win the enemy's trust. That's what we spies do.
Right. Well, why didn't you tell me you were a spy?
Couldn't risk it, sir. There are so many informers in the British ranks. You know the sort. Mercenary scum will do anything for money. I hate that.
Father!
Is it important?
I'm not sure. Mary's outside the window in a funny costume.
Oranges! Who wants to squeeze my juicy oranges?
Oh, no. Wait a minute. What about the money?
Money, sir?
The money the rebels paid you.
Oh, I've sent all that to the Stepney Home for Limbless Orphans. Oh, I didn't want it, sir. It's dirty money.
Oh, dear. Here I am, all alone.
Oh, for the love of...
I hope no big, lusty aristocrat chases me into the barn.
Yes, yes, Mary, I'll be with you in a minute.
Oh, no. I seem to have fallen out of my bodice.
I said in a minute. I'm sorry about that. Listen, McGurk, I owe you an apology. I misjudged you. I took you as an immoral profiteer, but clearly you're a man of great courage and integrity. I salute you, sir.
Sam, do you remember asking me if Joshua was the most gullible sap I'd ever met?
Yeah.
Well, I think I just answered your question.
Revolting People featured Jay Tarsis as Samuel, Andy Hamilton as Sergeant McGurk, Tony Maudsley as Joshua, Julia Hills as Mary, Hugh Dennis as Ezekiel, and James Fleet as Captain Brinshaw, with Philip Pope and Michael Fenton Stevens. Revolting People was written by Jay Tarsis and Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.